Speaking today with City Controller Ronald Green. You are now serving your first term in office as Controller. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. Was it what you thought it would be when you started campaigning for this job?
It was what I thought it would be and then some.
All right. Tell me more.
Well, obviously, with the way the economy is, there's a lot more opportunity in the Controller's office to really show some value and really to really show savings. That's been the big thing this last year and a half for us. We've had an opportunity to do some bond refinancings and really get some present value savings, so it has clearly been less ceremonial and more meat and potatoes.
All right, so let's talk about it a little bit more. I mean, the Controller doesn't have a vote at City Council and, generally speaking, doesn't set policy on things. So what are some of these meat and potato things you've been doing since they don't generally get a whole lot of press?
Well, absolutely. We do have purview over our $13 billion in debt and a $2.5 billion investment portfolio, which happens to be a very interesting time right now, with the way the economy is. So for us, whenever we can increase the investment portfolio, which we have done over the last year and a half, to the tune of a couple hundred million dollars, that is what allows council to set policy with the money that they have. If you have less money towards debt service, especially on the bond refinancing, that alleviates some of the pressure on the general fund budget and on some of the other funds. So I think that what we do is, while we may not have a vote, we certainly can help council find the funds and the mayor find the funds for some of the priorities that they set.
Well, plus you also have to certify the budget and you give the financial projection for the next fiscal year. So was there anything about the budget that passed that you had any questions or concerns about?
Well, this last budget that passed, obviously, council still has to do a lot of cutting. And I still think that along the way, unless we start to build up our reserve funds, you'll still see the mayor and I will be apart on some of the numbers, but not drastically apart, because my projections tend to be a lot more conservative. So I don't want council to think that although we may have a little higher property tax values coming in, that doesn't mean spend, spend, spend. It does mean that we want to make sure that we build up the reserves like we have in the past so that they can budget that in the next budget.
And so what is the forecast for the next fiscal year and maybe beyond that if you go that far?
Well, it appears that property tax values have gone up just slightly, and I don't think it's anything for us to jump up and down about, but it just shows that there's probably a few more structures on the ground.
Probably means that the slide is halted.
The slide is kind of halted. It's stable at this point. The other thing is sales tax is going up. And although sales tax is going up, it's still not at the 2008 level, so I still don't think it provides a great opportunity for us to spend, for some major things that we've been putting off. I think right now we are in a holding pattern. I tell everybody we have gone from this process on city council and the whole city government of doing more with less. We are now at the point of doing less with less because we have had to make some cuts, and that's what I think a lot of people don't expect. What I'm concerned about is you have a council that has come in, they campaign on one thing, and then when they finally get here, they find that, look, there's not really a whole lot to do other than maintain what you already have. And I think that probably presents more issues for district council members than anybody.
All right. One place where your office has, I think, differed with the mayor on something had to do with sales of property that were in the budget. I seem to recall that the property that's near where we're talking now, the city building on 3300 Main Street, that they budgeted for that, but it was not sold, shortly before the end of the fiscal year. Are there any more concerns? First of all, that building did sell, is my understanding.
Yeah, it did sell.
How has the city done in selling properties that it had budgeted that it would sell in its projections?
Well, it posed a different issue. On the last budget cycle, the mayor baked that into the budget, so they really believed that that was part of the projection, which from the beginning I thought was not a good idea because we are not unlike anybody else in the city of Houston who's trying to sell property. It's a buyer's market, so while we could say what we want for a piece of property, it doesn't mean that we're going to get it, and we found that out to the tune of probably about $30 million. In this FY 2012 budget, the mayor did not include the sale of capital assets or those non-routine sales in the budget, so that whatever they get for some of these big pieces of property that we find that we don't need, that's something that kind of is more of the icing on the cake, or it can go towards the reserve funds, but it's not projected in the budget and it wasn't adopted in the budget, and which I think they were wise to do, because if you look at it, the numbers that I came up with last fiscal year were right on target.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the long-term stuff, the pension and health care. The budget that was adopted included a provision to create a fiscal health commission, long-term fiscal health commission, I forget the exact name for it. That included mostly appointees of the mayor's and one of yours. Do you think that was that the right makeup? I mean, there was an op-ed that came out in the Chronicle shortly thereafter that said that the controller should have had more appointees on there.
I agree. I think what it did is there are so many constituencies represented on the commission that I don't believe that it will come up with one particular plan, because everybody who is a plan participant has a representative on the commission. I think that we've got some community people as well. I think it satisfies what one of the council members who suggested it wants, and that is probably to educate people more than anything. I think when it comes to the main issues and making some major decisions, that board will be all over the place. But I still appreciate and support the mission of it, if you will. But I do believe at some point those of us who are elected to make decisions, and those who sit around that table, are ultimately going to have to make some decisions that might not comport with what comes out of that commission.
Well, and of course, the city is constrained in what it can do about pensions in particular by state law.
Absolutely.
I mean, what realistically do you think this commission can come up with that we haven't already thought of?
Well, I think that right now the biggest issue is whether you protect and preserve what's already been in place. And obviously with our pension system, those individuals who are vested, there are many of us who believe that's a contract between us and current and former employees. I think you'll see that. It's whether this council and whether this commission and whether anybody involved determines that going forward, whether we will have a hybrid system, whether we will have just a defined contribution program, there are some tough decisions that will go forward. And then once that's presented to the legislature, how much force do we put behind it? Because it's one thing to say we need to make changes, but does everyone go arm in arm down to the legislature and say, look, this is the time to do it? And I realize that, obviously some of the pension plans will certainly have their people in place to fight against it. But I think going forward, you will even see the pension plan determine that it's probably best to help come up with the plan that affects them. Because I shudder to think that if we left pension plans in the hands of voters, that our people will not be protected. Those employees won't be.
There seems to be a push. I don't know how big it is right now, but there seems to be a push among some people to get public employees, firefighters, police officers, away from defined benefit pensions altogether and into more of a 401k style retirement plan. I mean, what do you think about that, and would that actually produce savings?
Well, I think that some of these individuals who are moving that plan along the track are probably a lot more extreme than I'd like. I think they want to also retroactively get rid of pensions. I think for individuals who are already vested, those individuals who are currently in the plan and that are retirees, I think we don't touch those. I think going forward, there is probably some momentum for either a hybrid type plan or a plan that certainly is a defined contribution plan. The thing that is on individual side right now is that you've got new workers, people who are your age, my age, who are coming into the workforce. Typically, our retirements are portable, and I think that's the advantage. So people get it, but at the end of the day, you still need people paying into the plan that's there. So I think we've got to be concerned about going too far to the extreme of getting rid of them. So it may be a gradual fix. It may take years to do this, but something has to be done.
Let's also talk about health care costs, since that's also been identified as a long-term cost driver affecting the city's financial health. Realistically, what can the city do about this other than just charge its employees more or offer smaller plans?
And that's exactly what this last plan that was just enacted in July, that's what it does. It basically saves the city money, but it shifts all the costs onto the employee. I think at some point we've got to be very careful. If you do that, then you have employees who become sicker because they can't afford to do the primary health care. I'm just from personal experience. I mean, obviously, copays have gone up, copays on medicines. I think we've got to be very extremely concerned about that. Healthcare is one of the biggest drivers in anybody's budget, and that's in the public sector and the private sector. But at some point, with this buying power, we're probably going to have to team up with the county and maybe the school district and get more buying power out of it. But once again, I do believe that, you know, it's a benefit that we have to provide for our employees, but you can't shift the entire cost onto them, because then you end up getting sicker employees and you pay more on the back end for more of these surgeries, more of these major procedures.
Okay. The controller's office has a function of doing audits on different aspects of city government. What kind of audits have you been doing, and what's on the slate for the future?
A couple of many major things. Our audit division is about 13 people, and it works like a major audit firm with hundreds of people. Probably one of the latest, I work backwards, we've got an audit coming out on our golf courses right now. And there are some people in the community who believe that the city should not be in the golf course business. I believe that city-run golf courses, we should have them, because some of these city-run golf courses, some of these young, underprivileged kids will never be able to afford to play in our parks. So we want to make sure that they are run efficiently. So we're working on that. We also have been able to find some savings when it comes to contract audits out of the airport. Some overcharging, and some of it may not have been intentional, but at the end of the day, when you're able to find, you know, $600 to $1.5 million, that's real savings. We've also done some audits on our timekeeping. We found that we were overpaying some employees for days that they hadn't worked, so we were able to save about $600,000 there in a year's time. And basically, with that audit division, we have moved towards doing more substantive audits. Not that the audits in the past were not substantive, but we are now looking to find money for the general fund. It's good to do a petty cash audit, but we want to find where the city is overpaid and can recoup money. We want to find out where we can be more efficient and save money, and that's what's been going on.
Okay, and so, you know, beyond the golf course, what's in the
future, more contract audits. Obviously, most of what we do is contracted out. So when we have construction audits out at the airport, we have construction audits out in the communities. That's where you'll see a lot of what we're going to end up doing. Compliance audits, making sure that that the taxes that we take in, that we're actually performing the job. And so one of the big things that I think you'll see, and that everybody will see, is dealing with the drainage streams. That's a big political issue, but it also involves a lot of money, and we want to make sure that what we have gone to the voters for and they've approved, that it actually hits the street.
Okay. Does your office have anything to do since you talked about airport construction, the deal that was negotiated at Intercontinental Airport, does your office have any oversight on that?
We will manage part of the debt transaction that goes along with that, issuing the bonds for it. So, yes, we will have a major impact there.
Okay. And, you know, what do you see as being your agenda for the next 2 years?
Well, for the next 2 years, one is making sure that we get some present value savings, that we continue to find money that's not even just a low-hanging fruit, but continuing to get into these audits, these meat and potato audits, and making sure that we find money. The other thing is to also educate people on finance and what we do with the city, because I still find that a lot of people don't know that we are a fully functioning finance department. And I think that's important to let people know, especially in this day and age, with all that's going on, we've got to be more transparent. People want to know what we're spending their money on, and that's how you gain some trust. And that's why I'm proud that we have now put the city's checkbook online, so that at any time people can go online and determine who we're paying. So that's going to be very important.
And you were fortunate enough to not draw an opponent this year, but tell people why they should vote for you anyway in November.
Well, one, I think I've done a good job of not being a ceremonial controller. I've got the business background, I've got the finance background, and I think that that's what people want to see in a finance department. But what they've also seen from our department is that we have given true numbers. The numbers don't lie. We have not been political. We haven't tried to create political opportunities. We have given the numbers, we've given the facts, and we've produced the facts. And I think the record speaks for itself.
All right. City Controller Ronald Green, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.